This is a poem by Robert McGough. He lives in Liverpool, England. Call me world. I am land. I'm happy for you to live on me, till and plow, graze your cattle, build your homes upon me. I will feed, nourish, even bury you. But I am not yours. Not yours to fight over, to invade and plunder, divide and destroy. I do not belong to you. Even though you claim me, I am not yours. I have no name, flag, nor anthem. Call me world. When I make you angry, call me names. Earthquake, wildfire, volcano, call me tsunami, tornado. But do not call me China or Russia, Ukraine or Taiwan. I am not your Israel or Austria, your America or United Kingdom. I am land. I have no name but earth. Call me world. I will sit for your landscape paintings, pose for your cameras, for your songs and poems be a source of inspiration. But I am not yours. Japan, Pakistan, choose a name. Iran, Afghanistan, one and the same. You come and go, only I remain. Call me world.
That is really what it's all about. The focus of this service today, the readings and all the inspirations, the focus of them all is to see the world that we live in, live with, as real. That we are actually in a relationship. That there is a mutuality and an interwoven exchange that does between us exist as humans and the earth itself. This is not a one-way street. We must remind ourselves of that every day and often. Some of you may know that I loved a tree named Harriet when I was a child. I don't know how I knew that her name was Harriet, but I did. She lived in my daycare provider's backyard. I spent a lot of time with Harriet. She was a majestic pine with long, thick branches, and they were close to the ground, so perfect for climbing and sitting. You could not convince me, even now, after all the boring growing up I've done, that she wasn't my true friend. You couldn't convince me, even now, that I don't owe her and her family of things something precious and important. For a relationship to exist, to be in right relationship, energy has to be expended in both directions. There has to be a conversation happening, you might say. And don't we all know that a conversation, in fact, maybe some of the most powerful we've ever had, happened without any words at all? That's the experience I had with Harriet. It's the experience I still have in the natural world. Kate Bennett said to me as part of offering inspiration for this service that in addition to the chalice lighting words she shared, she loved some of these quotes by Rachel Carson, who also understood this relationship thing. For most of us, she said, knowledge of our world comes largely through sight. Yet we look about with such unseeing eyes that we are partially blind. One way to open your eyes to unnoticed beauty is to ask yourself, what if I had never seen this before? What if I knew I would never see it again? Doesn't that change something in the quality of the way that we are together? When we ask that about a human, someone that we love, it changes the way that we treat them. It's no different than the world. She also had this incredible relationship with the sea. Some of her books are downstairs. You'll see them. She said that to stand at the edge of the sea, to sense the ebb and flow of the tides, to feel the breath of a mist moving over a great salt marsh, to watch the flight of shorebirds that have swept up and down the surf lines of the continents for untold thousands of years, to see the running of the old eels and the young shad to the sea, is to have knowledge of things that are as nearly eternal as any earthly life can be. Beautifully, poetically said. She also famously said that if there's poetry in my book about the sea, it's not because I deliberately put it there, but because no one can write truthfully about the sea and leave out the poetry. Mm-hmm. There's something in the unspoken, there's something in the magic of how things come together. And because I love synchronicities, after meeting with the Climate Action team and hearing their vision and inspiration for the service, which was largely related to Rachel Carson, you may have seen Heather Cox Richardson put an article out for Earth Day this year on April 22nd, 2025, and she wrote about Rachel Carson, reminding everyone that Earth Day was celebrated for the first time in 1970, and the spark for the first Earth Day was the 1962 publication of Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. She was a marine biologist and best-selling author, and she focused in that book on the devastating effects of people on nature and was documenting the effect of modern pesticides on the natural world. She was treated very badly. Her findings were refuted, were argued with, were ignored. She was then later vindicated. Her story is worth knowing. Before she died of breast cancer in 1964, Carson wrote this, excuse the gendered language, these are her words. "Man's attitude toward nature is today critically important simply because we have now acquired a fateful power to alter and destroy nature. But man is a part of nature, and his war against nature is inevitably a war against himself. We are challenged, as mankind has never been challenged before, to prove our maturity and our mastery, not of nature, but of ourselves. Can we be in right relationship? Can we do our part?" It was too perfect to not mention to you the story, The Giving Tree, I've talked about here before. Do you all know The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein? Is anybody else disturbed by The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein? I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago, I found that Topher Payne had written an alternative ending to The Giving Tree, which was the tree who had healthy boundaries. And in that story, he picks up at the point where the middle-aged man comes back to the tree after years and years and years of neglect, after taking the apples and the shade and building a boat and do all of the taking, 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 and then all of the ignoring, the ignoring, the ignoring. And this man can never seem to be happy. So in middle age, he comes back to the tree and he says, "I don't want to climb in your branches anymore," though the tree wanted that to happen. "I'm too old. I want a house to keep me warm. I want a wife and a children, so I need a house. Can you give me a house?" And in the original story, the tree sacrifices itself until it becomes nothing but a stump for the boy to sit on. In this story, the tree stands up and says, "Hold up. This is getting out of hand." And with the branches, he grabs the man by the tie and says, "I recognize that friendships evolve over time, and we may not see each other as often because you don't have time for your tree friends, but we used to be real tight. Now it feels like I only see you when you need something. How do you think that makes me feel?" The boy took a long breath and he felt a sour rumble in his stomach because he realized he hadn't considered his friend's feelings. "I bet it makes you feel bad." From that point on, the story continues. They take care of the tree. The older man takes care of the tree. He asks questions like, how are you doing? And is that squirrel hole too deep? And shall I talk to the squirrel for you? They build an apple orchard and then a bakery to sell their apple products. And for many, many, many years, the tree goes stronger. The man grows happier. And the tree remembers and knows that she could have given all of herself to the boy, but then she would have had nothing left. Not for herself, not for anyone else. There would have been no home for the red squirrels. There'd have been no hide and seek with the boy's grandchildren, no bakery with the best apple pies they've ever tasted. Setting healthy boundaries is a very important part of giving. It assures you that you'll have something left to give. And so the tree was happy. In fact, everyone was. I think the tree's name was Harriet. The point is that we have a responsibility to be in right relationship with the earth and all of her creatures. We also have to remember that all relationships are different, so we won't always be in agreement about how best to protect our earth. We won't always be able to choose the same paths or make the same sacrifices. Some of us will have a deeper connection to the earth and her creatures, but we cannot ignore our responsibilities or our debts. We cannot just feel gratitude. We cannot just feel gratitude and continue to take without reciprocation. So today and every day, maybe just pause for a moment and wonder, how might we move over? How might we as humans move over or out of the way to make sure that there truly is a place for all in the choir? What boundaries can we set? What selfishness can we relinquish in order to ensure the continued survival and thriving of this precious home? This day and every day, how might you choose to hold up your end of the bargain with this beautiful blue boat home that loves us, feeds us, shelters us, challenges us, delights us, and speaks to us in all her unusual and infinitely profound ways? What will you do?